648 1320 WILS. Well, we talked a bit about this, but the executive order that Donald Trump signed yesterday could have a huge impact on small businesses across the country, including here in Michigan, calling that basically any agency that requests a new regulation has to identify two that they'll cut. Brian Crabtree with us, publisher of Talk40.com and a contributor to townhall.com. Brian, great to have you on WILS.
Great to be here. Yeah.
I remember when we talked before, you said you had a career in the housing industry, right? In real estate?
That's true, yeah.
And how much of an issue was regulation there?
Oh, it's terrible. I think for the people, you know, that maybe don't understand housing quite how it impacts the economy, it is a lagging indicator. So if you have jobs, you'll have good housing. And so when you have great housing, you usually have great jobs. It doesn't create the job situation. But housing then is like an afterburner. It puts $63,000 per home sale on average into the local and regional community and the economy. So when you have regulation, you choke the process and you slow it down. You make it more expensive. The average home in America is $300,000 that's being built. The average cost of regulation in that home is $90,000 to $100,000.
How does that work out? What kinds of regulations are we talking about?
Well, you're talking about local regulations, code. I mean, I'm building a house right now. It's a second home, and I had to spend $20,000 for a floor I'm not finishing, the second level on the home, because they wanted to make sure if I ever decided to finish it that I didn't do it without doing what they wanted me to do. So there's $20,000 to spend right there. You then take it up to a different level, the cost of financing due to regulation on the mortgage. If you look at the regulation from Dodd-Frank that trickles down to a number of government agencies, that adds cost to the process at every layer. It drives it up by average about 30%. So that's part of that $90,000 to $100,000. Mm-hmm. Trump wants to get rid of 75% of it, and I think it's a good thing.
Those that say the regulations are there to keep us safe and to keep the banks from doing all kinds of shenanigans, what do you say to that?
I say it's bull. You want to keep too big to fail from destroying our financial system. Again, it's simple. Keep Dodd-Frank for any bank over $500 billion in assets, and thereby there will be no chance for too big to fail. Dodd-Frank certainly will keep too big from fail from occurring in the same context again, but it's really harming medium and small businesses who are trying to get loans from the local community bank, because the housing aspect of job creation is important. It's a very indirect. If you look at the number one source of capital pre-recession to build a small business, it was what? The home equity line of credit. You can't hardly get those anymore without, cutting off an arm and a leg. And so they just aren't giving you the kind of lending they used to. And so deregulating that and let a small local banker with four or five branches, commercial banker, lend loans because he knows the guy and thinks he'll pay it back and it's a good lending and business decision for the bank. Let him do that again. But now they're treating the small banks and the local decisions just like it's Bank of America or such that's too big to fail. Hmm. We need to get rid of Dodd-Frank. I think you'll get rid of a lot of it.
For a typical small business, though, how much of the regulations are local versus these federal regulations?
Well, I was explaining this today on my radio show, and I think this is the key point. If you've ever had to log into something three or four times to access your bank records, if you've ever had to get a three-step process to do something financial for your business, if every time you log in, you're being asked to change a password, and they say this is for your security, this is not for our security. This is because the long arm of the federal government will come into a business and they will shut them down because they don't go overboard making us do what we should be responsible for ourselves, our own security. I don't need someone telling me to change passwords. I don't need someone telling me to do three steps to log into an account where I have the password. I should be responsible for that. But because the government, the Federal Trade Commission specifically, I have one story here in Atlanta. The guy had a lady on her computer. She was downloading music in a sharing app, so she could listen to it while she input patient records. 7,000 records got stolen through that app. Hmm. They caught it fairly quickly. The Federal Trade Commission got involved. They put them through 5 years of litigious, bureaucratic paper collection and documentation, $5.5 million in legal fees, and there was never a breach again in those 5 years, and eventually the business went under. And so you look at that sort of stuff, and you say that's how the federal government chokes businesses, because you spend your time, your resources, and your money, your productivity, complying with the robots that work for our idiotic government.
And how much of it is, if you haven't been confronted by the government, you wouldn't really even know that that's how it goes down?
Well, a lot of what we do when we interact with other companies is their attempt to comply with what they think the government wants. Mm-hmm. And so when the government gives you a broad stroke, we've seen this in the housing business, the mortgage business, Dodd-Frank was coming and it's here. And so now you have some of the lowest default rates in the mortgage business because they won't lend to people that even look funny, mm-hmm. in a sense, because the government's saying lend very tightly. I joke that if you want to get a mortgage this day and age, you probably could get one if you've got a job and good credit, but you have to let them inspect your underwear drawer for stains.
I see.
That's ridiculous.
On their side, the government, they're thrilled with this default rate, not looking at the larger impact. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the default rate is well below 1%, and a healthy mortgage market, you want the default rate to be at about 1% even. So if it's a quarter of a percent below that, you're too strict. And you know, why would you want it to go up? Well, when it's about 1%, that means that you're lending with enough, you know, looseness in the market to keep people going that need, you know, that should be buying homes. And if it's 2%, it's too high, right? So it's way overburdensome, and no one can figure out in any of the businesses that I observe how to really get things done anymore. So what they do is they err on the side of caution, and they become overly strict, overly bureaucratic, too much loss of productivity, and that's ultimately harming the economy.
Was that an overreaction to the housing market collapse then?
Well, we're always, as a country, fighting the last battle. So, yes, the short answer is yes, we overreacted. That battle will never have to be fought again, even without regulations. Bankers aren't, you know, bankers may be stupid in totality, but they're not stupid in specifics. They're not going to do that same stuff again. Even with Dodd-Frank, they'll figure out another way to really muck up the system. It's going to be 10 or 20 years. Yeah. We'll have another crisis, but it won't be because of the fog of mirror loans and the mortgage packaging that was occurring. It'll be some other, you know, unconceivable thing at this moment.
10 to 20 years, Brian, is it that far away, another housing crisis?
Well, the housing market typically is regional. We've never since the Great Depression had a nationwide housing decline, so that was unprecedented. The cycle on housing is 18 years, so every 18 years you'll see a boom and a bust at some level. It could be a mini boom and a mini bust, mm-hmm. Or it could be a slight uptick and a slight correction. And in some markets like Los Angeles, Southern Florida, such as that, you see massive booms and massive declines. We've never had it on a national level. We may never in our lifetime see it again. It just depends on how we manage our finances.
Really? So a place like Michigan, where we've seen slow and steady improvements in the housing market, is that, do you think that'll then go on for another decade or so?
Well, the cool thing about places like Michigan, where there have been some economic problems, but there hasn't been massive inclines in the cost of housing because the market there is more driven strictly by jobs, is that you have a much healthier market. I like those markets because they're predictable. If they go up a little, you make a little money. If they go down a little, you really don't lose any unless you got to sell at that point. It's a much healthier environment. Mm-hmm. You see markets like Charleston, South Carolina, where I was for years, where prices go up 30% in 1 year. They'll also come down 20 or 30% in a bad year. So you get a lot of people who get stuck in that hamster wheel, and I don't know that we'll see again the massive spike in foreclosures and the ultimate decline that we saw with or without Dodd-Frank. That is not protecting people. It's ultimately slowly harming people cumulatively as much as a crash would hurt them, if that makes sense. We're hurting them in drops instead of in buckets.
Brian Crabtree on WILS. Just a couple minutes here, but so far what you've seen from Donald Trump, his style and what he's done so far in his presidency, how optimistic are you right now?
Well, I'm hopeful that we are going to have some improvement, some relief, and ultimately there's going to be a lot of hope. I want to caution those that are too hopeful not to get your expectations too high. 50% of the problem is government regulations and what they drive into our culture. The other 50% is our problem. Mm-hmm. We have had the social media revolution now, and so with that, we have really degraded our morals, our values, and our ability to interact with each other. We're going to have to fix that as well and as much as fixing the regulation and government overreach.
And how much of a challenge is going to have getting Congress to work with them on the regulation end?
I think Congress is going to. This is the death curve going on now with Democrats. They're just still in denial. And as soon as they get to acceptance, and Trump starts trying to work with them, after he gets past the first 100 days. I think things will calm down some, but I think for the next 6 months, really, we're going to see just fireworks galore. It's going to be a real problem. They're going to try to block everything. They're going to make any conservative blockage of Obama look like a walk in the park, you know, because they actually fight. Democrats, you gotta give it to them. They fight tooth and nail. Republicans, conservatives, we run for the hills when the pressure gets tough.
Yeah. Well, Chuck Schumer shows they can cry too, you know. That can be effective, I guess.
He's emotional. He's a good actor, isn't
he? Yeah, of course, yeah. Brian Crabtree, publisher of Talk 40, talk40.com, contributor to townhall.com, clashdaily.com, and thedailycaller.com. He's everywhere. And you have your own show too, you said, right, Brian?
Yeah, right here in Atlanta on the business and the talk station.
Excellent. Brian Crabtree on WILS. Thanks, Brian.
Great to be with you.
And that is it for us on this Tuesday. We're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Join us then. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson, right here on 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Have a good night. Bye-bye.